thomasofgod.net.
Hello, Brother Thomas.
Hey, Sister Mary. What you got?
Brother Thomas, I understand that the spirit of disobedience keeps the human race enslaved by keeping the information about our sinful condition from man and our destiny, which is death, hell, and the lake of fire for eternity. This comes to man as a result of our sinful behavior, which is hate, anger, jealousy, fighting, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, gossip, slander, unforgiveness, bitterness, disobedience to authority, addictions, and more. But how does God save us from the old man or the spirit of disobedience?
God, Sister Mary, honors the choices that man makes, and God will not force his will upon and over our will and the choices that we desire for ourselves. God waits for us to invite him into our lives. Look at Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20 says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." This verse shows us the politeness and the non-forcefulness of God, our Creator. Notice in this verse the position of God is outside the door. And also notice he is patiently standing outside the door. And then again, notice also God is not trying to force his way, but he is patiently waiting outside the door of your mind or brain, which is where the spirit, the real you, dwells. But instead of breaking down the door, he is calmly waiting to see if you will respond to his knocking. He is also persistent. He isn't going nowhere. He will stand his ground whether you respond or not. He will faithfully stay at the door. You may ask, why doesn't he go away? Because he believes the information he holds and wishes to share with you is so important for the well-being of your life. Day after day and year after year, he will still stand unmoved outside the door of your mind or brain. Many say, why does God send people to hell? God has sent no one to hell against their own will or their own choosing. He made us a creature of free will and desire for you to come to him and into an eternal relationship with him of your own free will. Notice in Revelation 3:20 it states that he is knocking at the door. But this knocking was not as we do. When we go to someone's house, we use our fist to pound upon the door. But not so during the days of Christ. Turn to Acts 12 and let's read Acts 12, 12 through 14. And it says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together in praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told that Peter stood before the gate." Here Peter had just amazingly escaped from prison with the help of an angel. Having escaped, he went to Mary's house, the mother of John Mark. And it states, he was knocking when Rhoda heard or recognized his voice. It says, not his fist pounding on the door, but his voice calling on the outside, desiring to come in. They knocked with their voices, not their fist. Go back to Revelation 3:20, and you will see also this type of knocking as well. Listen, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and let me in." Again, let me show you the kindness of God when he speaks to those who are born into this world and lost without Christ. Turn to 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, and let me read to you verse 12 and 13. "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out." and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, What dost thou, Elijah? Notice the tone of God's voice when he approaches the door of a person's mind. It says God's voice is still. The Hebrew word for still means calm or gentle. I have never heard God scream, holler, or be stern towards me, even when I'm out of his will, and even when I have sinned. And he comes to me and approaches me to correct me. And still, I have never heard his voice raised, but always a small, gentle, calm voice. So not even with his voice is he trying to be forceful towards you, trying to get you to, trying to get your attention so that he might share with you what he wishes to share with you. And that's that information that he wishes to give you, that he believes is so life-changing. You may also ask, who is this that is at the door of my mind? And what is his purpose? Turn to John 16, 7, verses 7 through 11. It says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. The Comforter spoken here in this verse is the Holy Spirit. The job of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The word reprove in the Greek means to persuade. You may ask, what is he trying to persuade a person to do? He is trying to persuade you by sharing with you the information of, one, your condition, and the condition of the human mind is that he is full of wrong behavior and also thoughts. And these thoughts and behavior are hate, anger, bitterness, fighting, jealousy, selfishness, murder, theft, adultery, fornication, unforgiving, vengeful, gossip, slander, disobedient to authority, addictions, and more. And that this way of life is wrong, and that there is another way, known as love. But that if we continue in this wrong behavior, our destiny is death, hell, judgment, and the lake of fire for eternity. And then also the goodness of God, that he wishes to share and give to every person, and that is by and through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, who has died for every person in his place for the punishment of their sins, to whom we will acquire forgiveness of our sinful behavior, and will come to acquire after death a new body in which we will live with God forever upon the second earth for eternity. This is the information that Satan, demons, and the old man, or the spirit of disobedience, wishes and works real hard for every person not to acquire. Unless you, with this information, are then able to reason and make a decision, knowing both sides about your situation. This information is not given to a person all at once, but a bit and pieces during their lifetime, and each time speaking to you, sharing more, and hoping and waiting for that time you will believe that you are a sinner and that you need help, and desire no longer to live that life of sin, but desiring to change. And as you look to Christ and believe his death is the substitute for your sins, and confess to God and believe upon Christ, at that moment, that is opening the door and allowing him to come in. Because that now, that is your will, chosen freely by you. I have asked Christians, when did God first start, or when did you first start hearing God's voice? And all that I've asked has said early in their childhood. Let us look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, starting with verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In this verse, where it says light, it means the understanding. And what the understanding that it's talking about is the understanding that we have just shared, which is, one, that we're all sinners. Two, that as sinners, the punishment for sin is death, and the result of our living that sinful behavior is death, hell, judgment, like fire. But the love of God and the goodness of God and the mercy of God is that God is willing and goes all out to try to save us from that destiny by giving us information, not only of our condition that we're sinners and where we're going, but then also about His love and mercy. That through His Son, and accepting His Son as our Lord and Savior, and as our substitute death for our own sins, our sins will be forgiven, and death, we will not go to hell, but we will go to be with the Lord in heaven, until we return back to Him to receive our body, and then to live upon the second earth forever in eternity with God. That is the light, or the information, that the spirit of disobedience does not want you to have, nor Satan. But according to these verses, not everyone is going to believe and come to Christ, as the Holy Spirit tries to persuade them to come to Christ so that they might be saved. There are those who are in the world, and they're in the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They're in adultery and fornication, and they love that behavior. They love vengeance. They love anger. They love what the world has to offer. They don't want to hear about themselves as being sinners, and they like where they are. Not everyone will come to Christ. Not everyone will the Holy Spirit persuade in order to miss death, hell, judgment, and the lake of fire. Say, what happens at the moment I believe and accept Jesus' death as my own, and I repent of my sins? Like I said earlier, that's the moment that you open the door and you allow the Holy Spirit to come in. And He comes in and dwells there with you. Look at Ephesians 1:13. And whom also ye also trusted, at that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and of your salvation. And whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And what that is referring to is that at the moment that you believed, the moment you believed what the Holy Spirit was trying to persuade you, the moment you believe about Christ and you confess yourself as a sinner, the Holy Spirit, you've opened the door, and the Holy Spirit comes into your mind, there to dwell with you in the brain, and there He stays, He's sealed, and He will never leave you, nor will He forsake you. And then you are God's child. Now, Sister Mary, if you will come back next week, I will share with you what happens when the Holy Spirit comes in. Will that be okay?
Yes, Brother Thomas, thank you. ¶¶